Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today with me, I have got Marley Jolander. Now, Marley loves inspiring fempreneurs on a mission. I just love that statement. That's really cool. Her passion is to help ambitious women in business to turn more potential customers into paying clients with meaningful marketing. Kickstarting her career with BMW Group, she quickly climbed the corporate ladder and managed to get promoted twice in 1.5 years. Now, Marley became the first social media manager worldwide at the age of 24. However, she discovered a wage gap, gosh, we've talked about that before, that could not be resolved, and she handed in a resignation and returned to Australia to complete her master's in business, and that was in 2012. Marley loves traveling, and she's visited 28 countries around the world. She's lived in 4 different countries, and she speaks 5 languages. I am so envious of people that speak languages. I have trouble remembering a few words in another language. In her me time, she loves to read and go to hot yoga and anything health, wealth, and wellness related to keep growing and learning. In 2016, Marley took a leap of faith on her own to start her own business by helping entrepreneurs achieve better results faster. And that is as a marketing conversion business coach. So Marley is also really passionate about empowering women to connect and support one another. And she is a Gold Coast ambassador with the League of Extraordinary Women. There's quite a list of achievements there. Welcome, Marley. I'm so looking forward to our conversation today.
Thank you for having me, Janine. I'm very excited about our chat as well.
And I was just talking to Marley before we came on, and I've just been presenting a lot, and I've got a little, might have this little husky, scratchy voice going on. So for those that are regular listeners, you'll be going, what's wrong with her voice? That's what it is. So hopefully we can keep it nice and energized and and the husky thing happening. So it's like that. Look, I'm going to go back to the 5 languages first. We'll go into the business stuff in a minute, but I'm just amazed at when people, and I know you're from Europe, so most Europeans do tend to speak more than one language, but how do you keep track of those in your head? You know, just, you think in English
now. It's interesting
now.
You mentioned that. I think I do because I've been here a while now, but when I was in high school, I was terrible at mathematics. And they kind of say you're either good with numbers or you're good with languages. And I figured out languages was a lot easier for me. So I simply decided to go with that. And because the Netherlands is such a small country, it fits around 35 times in Australia. Mm. So for you to get out of the Netherlands, you really had to learn other languages to be able to speak with people in Germany, in France. So they already taught us German and French when we were in high school. And then I got really excited to travel and I decided to move to Spain. And interesting enough, I met a guy there. We were together for about 3 years. He didn't speak a word of English. He said he did when I met him. And then I said, okay, what do you know? And he said, yes.
Well, that's about all I know in about half a dozen different languages as well is yes.
That was the only word he knew in English. So I realized I had to up my game rapidly. And that's how I learned Spanish. And at the moment, I believe that's one of the things I love most. The majority of my friends now are either from Latin America or we speak Spanish. And that's the way how I can maintain being able to speak those languages, to connect with somebody in their own language.
Yeah, that makes a lot of difference, doesn't it, when you can. I've got a friend who married someone who came from the French Caribbean area. Mm-hmm. And so her husband could speak French and then she learned to speak French. But when they went back on holidays regularly, her French just improved incredibly because that's all she was speaking. It makes a lot of difference, that practicing of it.
It does. And even if you don't speak the language really well, when I came to Spain, I remember being on the bus and I realized if I don't get off at the right bus stop, I don't know how to ask to get back. So I didn't speak the language well enough to even be able to ask for directions. Mm-hmm. But I learned very quickly, and even with knowing just a few words, the people were so encouraging because they couldn't speak English, and they just appreciated that you tried to speak their language. So whenever I go to any country, even when I don't speak the language, like we were in Marrakesh in Morocco, I would learn to say thank you and goodbye and hello. And people really appreciate if you make a little bit of an effort to speak even a few words in their language.
I think that makes a difference. I'm traveling shortly and to, you know, quite a few countries, and I've been saying this on each of these podcasts because they're going live after I've come back from holidays to 20 different countries. And, you know, that's the thing is I probably can say thank you and yes and no in a lot of languages where the places we're going, but happy to learn more. And it does make a difference too, doesn't it? Especially when you're used to traveling. That's what someone said about French people. As long as you make an attempt, then they're not that notoriously rude like people say they are, which I'm sure they're not.
I've heard that too. But indeed, if we make a little bit of an effort, I think you have the feeling you get to connect with people on a more deeper level and also more rapidly, more quickly.
Absolutely. So your time, tell us a little bit more about Mali and what got you here to Australia, and you know, we talked about the wage gap with BMW and those sort of things, so tell us a little bit more
indeed.
About you.
Well, for those who may not know me, so I was born in the Netherlands, and when I was in high school, and keep this in mind, I think this is really interesting, I'm not sure if many people are aware of this, our weather is really not that great, meaning that if I look outside my window now here on the Gold Coast, it's pretty much sunny every day. I love it here. For me, this is like the promised land with palm trees and beautiful weather and the beach right there. Like, I feel eternally grateful that I am able to live here. And the Netherlands is actually quite a good country too. Like, it's definitely not a third world country. We're very much advanced in technology. Economy is great. People are very smart. A bit funny. You need to understand that they communicate very often in a sarcastic way. So I realize some people that meet Dutch people kind of say they're so blunt.
Okay.
But it's a way when you understand their sense of humor and the way that they communicate, they're actually quite interesting people. However, the weather. So I was in high school looking outside the window and it was raining again. And keep this in mind that the majority of Dutch people do everything by push bike.
Yes,
so I was looking outside
that.
Thinking,
yeah.
I am so going to be in the rain again going home. And I realized that it was a little bit depressive. So what happened on this particular day, something really bad had happened. One of our best friends committed suicide at 15.
Wow.
And I lived in a very small village and nothing really ever happened. And with that happening, so what he did, he had some issues with gambling and drinking. And he was quite young. He was 19 years old. He was the boyfriend of one of my best friends. And when they broke up, he kind of, you know, didn't see a way out.
Goodness.
And he drove into a wall at 160 kilometers an hour. So he parked his foot underneath the brake, so he wouldn't be able to hit the brakes anymore, and he drove himself into the wall. And that all happened quite rapidly. I was at her house the same night with the police and all that. It just all happened. And as I mentioned, nothing really happens in our village, so we had never really been exposed to such a traumatic event in our lives. And it made me realize that life could be very, very short.
Yeah.
So it made me think, what do I want to do with my life? So I was 15 at the time. And looking outside, and as I mentioned, the Netherlands is quite a small place, so it also feels like people are kind of in your space all the time. And I realized I really wanted to get out of the Netherlands. And when I was 17, when I finished my high school, the first thing I did is go to the United States on an exchange program. So I thought that the grass would definitely be greener on the other side. I moved to a place called, I think it was Broomfield, close to Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, it wasn't necessarily greener.
No, that Colorado is not necessarily, but it's picturesque though. But it's
correct.
Yeah, yeah.
They call it colorful Colorado. So depending when you're there, what season. And when I arrived, I kind of realized that I learned more in my 6 months as an exchange student than I had in almost 5 years of high school.
Wow.
So going to another country, being on my own, meeting new people. My English wasn't that great when I arrived there, so I really had to improve my English. And then I kind of caught the traveling bug and learning other languages. So when I returned, I chose to do an English education. So the majority of my friends obviously speak Dutch and did their education in Dutch.
Right.
I chose an English study. And now I met people from all around the world, because 60% of the people in my class were from different countries, from Russia and Mexico and Germany and all over the world. So I kind of had this opportunity to connect with all these people, and we're still in touch. And that was the beginning, I guess, of my international aspiration to do business and to travel. And I ended up in Australia as part of my internship when I was doing my studies. And I loved it so much that I decided when I was working at BMW Group and realized about the wage gap, I thought, I'm not putting up with this. And when I handed in my resignation, because you don't want to make things too awkward either, I explained that my reasoning for handing in my resignation was because I wanted to proceed with my academic career in Australia. And that's how I returned in 2012 with a beautiful recommendation letter of BMW Group. Asking to come back eventually.
Okay.
I didn't do that, but I do have beautiful memories. It was an amazing team and I learned a lot. So it's not, I didn't leave in any, on a bad note or something like that. But I realized we have to do things differently, especially as women, being able to find our voice. And that's what I love about what you do as well, helping people, especially women as well, with improving their presenting and finding their voice and being able to step into their power and asking the right question and asking the right people and shine a bit brighter.
And that's one of the things, isn't it, that women often don't. And that's, I mean, we're talking about the wage gaps now, which is great, and the inequality in wages. And so those things are slowly changing because people are using their voice and saying that it's not acceptable. That's just the whole travel thing, and everything is it's just fascinating. As a lover of travel, I always really enjoy hearing stories like that myself. But you were the social media manager worldwide, so that's before 2012. So we're talking 8-9 years ago. Social media then is so different than it is now.
Correct. So what happened is that I started at BMW. So we're talking about 2009. I came in as an intern and they gave me the opportunity to do my thesis, my graduation assignment on a communication topic, which has been done many times, or there was this new thing that nobody really knew anything about, which was social media. So I said, well, I like a challenge. I'll take on the challenge of social media. So what I did is I did field research, which was really interesting. So I had interviews with the most important people in the public relations department, I would say, or public relations in the Netherlands. So we're looking at the biggest newspapers, the Playboy magazine, like the magazines that were really big in the Netherlands at the time, and also online, some opportunities to consider what is social media going to do for us in the future. So it was really cool to schedule these interviews with publications that managed to reach the majority of the Netherlands and come in as an intern of BMW and have a chat with these people to ask them how they looked at social media and what they thought that the future was going to bring for them. And I noticed that especially the publications that were printed, they were a little bit afraid of what social media was going to do. And as you would know by now, quite a few publications went under because of online and because of social media. So I started with that topic in 2009. I was very fortunate that they asked me to stay on. I believe we had about 12 interns at the time, and only three people were offered a position to stay. So I started as a junior coordinator in the public relations department, and I'm very happy I started in public relations because we had to build relationships with people. And if you look at social media, instead of going, here's my product, push, 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 we had to learn to communicate in a way that would engage the journalists to communicate about us, to publish our stories. So luckily I was trained in the way that helped me when I was engaging on social media to actually have a conversation with people going both ways, as the advertising department of BMW simply had a budget and they said, this is what we want to communicate, push it out. So if I would have trained, if I would have been trained in that department, I might have been communicating quite differently. So what happened in our department is they realized that there was a need for social media. And in the Netherlands, we were the first people to create a job position for a social media manager. And that's how I became the first social media manager of BMW Group worldwide.
Wow. Okay. I'm imagining they've always been an innovative company. So even looking ahead and thinking that we need to have this at that particular time was great forward thinking on their behalf. That, and what you said about having a conversation, building relationships on social media, I mean, that's really still what it's about, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. It is a bit of a struggle for people still, because yesterday I presented about the Facebook advertising and the upcoming changes. So they had a conference, I believe it was in May, when Mark Zuckerberg was presenting what kind of amazing updates are being rolled out soon and how that, so what we did is review what is coming up and how that might impact small business owners. Mm-hmm. And what we communicated is, for example, the groups are becoming more and more important as a community. And I sent that to you the other day as well. Mm. To say, let's engage more in these groups. And this is all about participation. So sometimes you would see people in groups that only post when they want to promote, but you see that other people aren't really interested in their offers because they don't have a relationship with them at all. Mm. So if you see somebody who also likes your postings and comments on what you're doing or shares what you're doing, you feel more engaged with them, and you're more likely to say, if you're posting, I'm happy to also like, share, and comment on your post. Mm.
Yeah, it's a bit of that too. It's got to be two way, hasn't it? It's,
yes.
Yeah, very, very much so. Yeah, and that's why, and if some of the listeners haven't heard that before, it's why I have the We Are Women Facebook group, because it's an opportunity for women to connect and find other women to connect with, and either, and particular days where people get to share positive statements or, you know, blogs or information that is of value to other people within what they're doing as well. And that's part of it as well, is giving information, not just asking for things too.
Now, I love how you bring that up, because there's one thing that us women sometimes have to be a little bit careful with. So definitely giving. And the formula behind it actually comes from Gary Vee. And he talks about give, 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 ask. Mm. So when we are on social media, ideally we would help our potential clients or our community with something of value to them. Mm. So when we look at social media strategy, we normally find out their frequently asked questions and we build our content around that. So we can really offer value to the people we're trying to help. So we can have three postings that are giving, but we shouldn't forget the fourth one, which would be asking to say, come to my next event, or here is my podcast, can you please share it or subscribe to it? So if we don't ask, we're not going to get.
No, absolutely. And that's, I mean, that's an important part with any sales conversation, is somewhere along the line, have a call to action. And I know some people just continually ask all the time without giving the value content, but It's you know, most, a lot of people are giving stuff. Now, there's more to your background about, you know, why you're very passionate about giving women a voice. So, mm-hmm. Are you happy to share that?
Yeah. So it's a bit of an interesting story that we brought up with a beautiful lady called Suze de Jong, who is my rapid transformational therapist. And she was my client first, and we became friends later, because it took quite a bit of time before I came to her. And she said, do a session with me. So what happened in that session, we brought up something from the past, and I realized that I'd been carrying a feeling of guilt with me for over 26 years that I wasn't even aware of.
Oh, okay.
And what happened with being able to release that, so this was actually linked to when I was about 7 years old, I was sexually abused, and I've never been able to talk about that, because I had that secret for about 20 years from my brother, because we weren't sure if he could cope with that. So we weren't sure for a very long time, and I couldn't ask anything about it. I couldn't say anything about it. And when we kind of address all that and we're able to heal the wounds, if that makes sense, after a long time, I managed to find my voice and consider that we need to be able to ask more, whether it is asking ourselves, are we doing the right thing? Are we blocking ourselves with negative emotions? Are we making the most of life? Is even a question that I consider quite relevant that we should ask ourselves. So when I went through those experiences and started to work on myself, because I believe that everybody has a story, and I don't even necessarily consider mine the worst. There are definitely different people that experience different things, and I wouldn't change anything about it because it made me the person that I am. So I did quite a bit of work that is now really beneficial when I work with other women, because there's something that everybody has that has impacted or influenced us in one way or the other. And if we acknowledge certain things and work on ourselves in a way that we give ourselves some time to heal, and also give ourselves more permission to live up to the potential and the life that we could really have, I realized that it feels so like you're giving yourself a certain freedom. And I managed to do that for myself with my past that a lot of people don't know. So the most of the people that would know me ask me, where do you get your confidence from? Or how come that when you're presenting, you have so much energy? Mm. And I think that it comes from the fact that I've given myself permission to live the best life that I can. And I love to inspire other people to do the same. In what areas in your life do you believe that you can improve? And what experts can help you with that? So this is one of the main things that I did, and I would love other people to do the same. Firstly, believe that you really deserve that, and then have a look at what areas in your life could potentially use any improvement, and what experts have done the thing that you want to achieve in those areas, and can you work with them? So dare to invest in yourself and believe in the amazing return on investment to be able to give yourself permission and set certain boundaries and live up to your potential. That's kind of what I got out of my own story.
Yeah, and that, I love that statement that you gave yourself permission to live the best life that you possibly could. And that's a definition of why you're confident. Well, the reason that's really particularly resonated with me, because now people will say that to me about my level of confidence, and they go, well, where does it come from? And I know there was, you know, through school, you're wanting people to be friends with you, and, you know, you're chasing those friendships like all children do and teenagers do as well. But if they didn't come, there was this level of, oh, okay, well, I've missed out, but that's okay. You know, and trying to describe that, but, and how, you know, as an adult, but to give yourself permission to live the best life, that's exactly that definition. So you just get, well, that's okay. Just get on.
I love how you mentioned that as well, especially when you say that's okay. And especially when I did these sessions with Suze, because I think the slogan of her practice, which is called Beautifully Selfish, is you're enough. And I believe that's the key thing that's holding most of us women specifically back, because we're either not good enough, or we're not old enough, or we're not young enough, or we're not thin enough. It's just always something related to enough. So when you say that's okay and you are enough, there's such a, it feels like a relief to give yourself permission to be you and step into your power and what would make you happy.
Absolutely. That's the permission to just be you and not judging, you know. And that's, you know, coming back to the social media concept. I did a, you know, ran a workshop thing last night with and talked about sales and how social, oh no, that was actually the one yesterday morning. I'm getting confused. There was like two there.
But it was, so many.
Oh, I know, this one was on work-life balance, but it's that perception of social media that everybody else's life is perfectly balanced. They've got all this time in the world to spend with their children. Their husband is not just their husband, it's their soulmate, and that they've got this most amazing job ever, and they're making a fortune, and that's what they put out on social media. And then that just creates this feeling of inadequacy of other people. Yeah. And my, you know, often my look at those sort of things, and it's a bit of a cynic in me of going, well, if you're having to brag about it, well, maybe it isn't there, you know. So it actually
correct. It's good you're bringing that up. Yeah, it's good you're bringing it up, because I believe that you're right. Like, even if I look at my old Facebook and the things that I share, it's normally about the gala night that I went to and the awesome client meeting that I was flown into for to go to Sydney and attend a business awards night. So you share the cool things. Mm. So I probably don't take a selfie when I'm very upset after a very long day and nothing went as planned and I'm crying in the shower.
No, not at the
very unlikely. However, it's something to consider that we all have our good and our bad days, and that's completely fine. So I respect the people who also dare to share some of their struggles. Mm-hmm. However, there's also a negative side to it. When you go, if somebody's only complaining online, nobody needs that negativity either. So it's, once again, talking about balance, I would say I would love to challenge people to be real.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? That just being real. And I mean, you can use the word authentic and genuine, but it's just being real. No, definitely. And that's something I did talk about last night in the sales one I ran, is that don't be scared to show that real, that who you are. Don't be scared to show the, open up your personal, say, let's talk Facebook page to people, to clients and people as well, because they want to get to know you. They don't just want to see the business stuff. They want to know the person that they're trusting with their money or ideas or, you know, their life. So they really want
You're totally right. And the other bit to add to that is basically what I did with my personal profile. Anybody who doesn't look like a serial killer is accepted.
I'm much the same. I'm very much the same. And there's a few serial killer looking ones that do come.
They do come along.
Oh, no, not really impressed with that one. But yes.
Oh, and I do look at their profiles as well. If somebody wants to be friends on Facebook, I look at their profile. If it's too self-absorbed or how do I call it, negative or anything that doesn't resonate with me, it's also a no.
Yeah. No, I totally on that page as well. Yeah. just while we're on it, I'm just having a little thing about social media. The thing that gets me when people will say, oh, no, I can't believe it's happened, and then that's all they put on. Like, really?
What? What happened?
You know? And
it's a cliffhanger.
I know.
That's kind of funny.
I know.
You do get great engagement on that. So now sometimes I see people using certain strategies on social media and I'm going, that's quite smart, because the more comments you receive, the more Facebook promotes your postings, because obviously people are responding to it, engaging with you. Mm. So Facebook rewards you for that.
Yes. They do, yes, but they shouldn't. That's not great.
I was thinking as well, when we look at the topic in terms of being very careful who you choose in your life, and not only who, like we become the average of the five people we spent most time with, but that also has something to do with what do you choose to digest. And that is not only related to the food we eat. Mm. That is also to, in terms of what kind of people do you have on your Facebook? And if you see them coming through your timeline, is that positive or negative? If you listen to the radio or you look at the news, is that positive or negative? What are we choosing to digest?
Mm-hmm. That's a very important factor, isn't it? And I know I've had people that have complained about social media saying that they, you know, they get lots of people insulting them or paying out. Look, I've never had that at all. And again, it's just not in my reality, I suppose.
Exactly.
It doesn't become part of.
So you wouldn't, I do believe quite a bit in manifestation and the law of attraction. So it's, once again, we come back to these keywords, permission and boundaries. If you set certain boundaries and you don't accept that kind of behavior in your life, it's very unlikely that you're going to attract them.
Mm. Yeah,
or if you do, you simply kick these people out of your life. Yeah, it's as simple as that. Facebook, delete, see ya.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be that hard. You simply say, no, I am not putting up with that. And you can say that to a person or delete somebody who's very negative on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But that's once again us setting our boundaries of what kind of people we accept in our lives and what kind of vibe these people bring.
Mm. No, and that's exactly right. And, you know, you've been working with a lot of women, particularly, you know, helping with their marketing and that. So what do you see as some of the problems? We've been talking about social media and yes. So what other problems do you find that are rising in that?
That is a good question. So, and I believe that you would resonate with this as well. I absolutely love working with what I call fempreneurs, but I realize if you read it, it makes more sense. So female entrepreneurs on a mission. Why women on a mission? Because there is actually no such thing as motivation. It's very hard to motivate people. So you either have this intrinsic desire to make a difference in this world. But if you don't have that, it's very hard. If you would go to a personal trainer and you don't want to do the exercises, like it's a pain for you and it's a pain for your trainer. So when you come across somebody who is amazing at what they do, for example, my therapist, Susie, she is the best rapid transformational therapist, but she absolutely hates the S word.
Selling.
Selling.
Yeah.
So then I would say, great, let me see how I can help you. Instead of saying you need to be selling, we turn it into serving. Mm. So what I started doing is realizing that we got these amazing women that have beautiful missions to really make a difference in the world with what they do, but they don't consider themselves marketing and salespeople. So I looked at my skill set, looking at starting with the end in mind, which comes from the famous book from Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. So when we look at what's the end in mind, I truly hope that when you're in business, you do want to be able to at least be self-sufficient. Meaning, when you were in a job, you were getting a certain salary a week. So the minimum that I achieve with my clients is to be able to earn that amount of money that you were previously earning in a job when you run your own business doing what you love. Mm-hmm. I believe that's milestone number one. If you can achieve that, you can get rid of this fear that a lot of us have in business when we go, oh my God, do I have to go back into a job?
Mm.
So when we get to the milestone of having replaced the income we previously had, we feel that we're on track with our mission. And with our mission, if I tap into the passion of these women and how good they are at what they do, I ask them to look at what I call meaningful marketing. So when women come to me or other entrepreneurs, so sometimes I help some amazing men as well, I normally put them on hold for a little while. So I would say, what kind of marketing are you doing? I don't want you to spend even a dollar of your money or a minute of your time on something that doesn't come with the strategy that started with the end in mind. What are we trying to achieve? And work backwards and have a specific funnel. So I talk about a very simple 3-step funnel. You need to move people through the customer journey. And that journey looks like this: to know, like, and trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to, for people to get to know you, they're in the stage of being what we call a cold lead. So maybe they would have never heard of you. Then they might move to the next stage to like you, which is when they're a warm lead. So maybe they have listened to one of your podcasts, or maybe they met you in person. There's something that resonates. So they might be interested in what you have to offer. To move them through the next stage, which is what we call trust, is when we have a hot lead that's pretty much ready to work with you. So if you consider how the majority of women struggle with turning a potential customer into a paying client is because they lack clarity on this funnel. Mm. What does this funnel look like for you? Do you meet somebody at a network event? You plan a coffee with them. You do a specific session with them to figure out if you can help them. At the end of that, you ask them to become a client or how you can help them. What does it look like for you? The majority of people look at me and go, I don't have a process for this.
Mm. And that's, I mean, that's a simple process, but as you said, most people don't have it. And there's, you know, an expectation if you put something marketing up on Facebook that you've sold mm-hmm. it, that you're actually going to get clients and sell mm-hmm. from there as well. And even, you know, I notice this when I present to groups, that I get, you know, great feedback on the topic and great input and interest, but the people I sell to in the room are people who have consumed something of mine already,
mm-hmm.
and more so than the people who are meeting for the first time. And that's part of that, exactly part of that funnel. And it's something that happens. Occasionally you'll get some randoms who don't know anything about you. But because I have a lot of stuff out there.
I love the title as well. We get some randoms.
but I put a lot of stuff out, as you know, with everything, with the podcast and with a whole lot of other direct mails and things like that. So there's a lot of people who sort of know me. So they're the ones that either sort of know me or know me well that are easy to convert. Mm-hmm. But the completely cold randoms, they will – I like that word too now. They will not necessarily buy yet. Correct. And even though they think it's a great offer and they love what you do, they're just still hesitant because they haven't got to that trust factor yet.
You're right. And the other bit to consider, and this is what us women struggle with the most, the feeling of rejection. So what I would like to add to that, and that comes from the famous book, The Four Agreements, don't take things personally. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have anything to do with you personally, that this person isn't ready to work with you yet, because it could be that these people, as we say, the randoms, are in the cold stage and you might be offering them the hot offer. It's too hot for them to handle, if we put it like that. So it means, and I love what you're doing because I see what's coming from your end in terms of the podcast and how you put yourself out there. And I believe you're doing a really good job, because if we look at the general rules of marketing, and this is what majority of people forget when running their businesses, we need about 5 to 10 touch points, being in touch with our potential customer before they're ready to do business with you. And consider that the majority of people, they may have met somebody at a network event, have a coffee with them, send them an email, and never do anything else. Where are the other 5, 6, 7 touch points? Have you tried to call them again? Did you send them an SMS? Have you sent them an email? Did you add them to your Facebook page? Did you send them the podcast?
Every little one counts.
Yes. So when we bring this up, I see a lot of women kind of have this aha moment when they go, oh my God, I haven't created those 5 to 10 touch, 7 to 10 touch points. And if we consider how rapidly our world is changing now, we might even need more than that, because we're constantly bombarded with information on social media.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, you know, and the reason is that's one of the difficulties with people starting out in business. I know somebody that's just starting out brand new. They've been in real estate field for quite a while now. They're starting out in their own business. And they're known locally, but I haven't seen them at any networking events yet. I've seen a little bit of social media coming out from them, but they're still very focused on that small group. And maybe they'll end up a big fish in a little pond, and that might be enough for them. But I can see that there's so much more that they could be doing and need to be doing to reach more people, to build exactly that funnel up to, so people will know, like, and trust their ability to, because that's what somebody's got a problem if they're looking to purchase, and they're looking for someone to solve that problem for them.
Yes.
And it's figuring out who is going to solve it best for them as to where they put their money. And
There's a very famous quote that we use, and I absolutely love it. It says, in marketing, your job is to be able to explain their pain better than they can, because they automatically and unconsciously credit you with having the solution.
Okay.
If you're able to explain their pain better than they can, just the same as if you would go to the doctor and you explain a few symptoms and he fills in the rest, you go, thank God, you know what's wrong with me. I trust you to be able to help me with this. So the key indeed is understanding your perfect prospect. Who would you like to work with? Because that's the only decision we have in business. So firstly, for sure, you would decide on your product or service. However, if there's no market for it, that's where your business finishes.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Absolutely.
So then The next choice we have, which is the most important choice that we have in business, is who we want to work with. But once we've made up our mind to say, this is my perfect prospect, it is all about them. Where do they hang out? We need to learn to speak their language, engage with them, understand their pain, understand their future belonging, their dream and design life. So we can explain to them, you're here now at point A, you would like to go to point B, this is the gap, and this is how my product or service can help you fill that gap.
Mm. Yes, exactly. Exactly right. And so many people get caught up with what they do rather than what they can solve or resolve for somebody.
Correct.
And they don't know how to ask the questions. They're often so busy talking about what their product does and
yes.
rather than asking questions to find out what the problem is and what their customer needs, which is a very yes. different conversation than saying what their product does.
You're right. I love how you bring that up because we all have a little radio and it's called Wiffen. Ever heard of that one?
I teach Wiffen as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. What is in it for me? So if you meet somebody and they just blab on about what they do, you just don't feel like you're making a real connection. But if you meet somebody and they ask you a few questions, which is actually really smart of the person asking the questions because they qualify their buyer, trying to figure out if they can help or not, because else you're wasting each other's time.
Mm. I had my trainer is in the process of finding a real estate agent, and she has had one person come in and they were telling her things, and she said, oh, I've got a question. They said, no, hang on, wait till I get to the end of this and then you can ask. And she's just going, I'm going to forget
no
the question
way.
By the end of it, which she did. Yeah. And she's gone, and they've actually even put their hand up to say, stop.
I consider that rude. I would walk out of that because I don't let people waste my time like that
absolutely.
At all.
She was just amazed. And then she had another one come in, and his first thing is to tell me about your place and tell me what your thoughts are.
Perfect. That is such a different conversation. So you're right. So there are a few things that us in business that we need to look at before we're ready to apply any marketing or sales strategies at all. Who's our perfect prospect? What are their pains? What is your solution? How can you help them with that? What questions do you need to ask them to find out if you can help them? And then how can you communicate in their language to be able to move them through know, like, and trust so they're ready to work with you?
Mm. Yes, and that's the important factor. It's getting a conversation that they can hear. As yes. well, and there's,
and know, it comes back to languages
to
again.
Mm-hmm.
So you do speak other languages. You speak the language of your perfect prospect.
Yeah, that's actually something that I. It and it is it does it's that ability to listen, to actively listen, you know, ask yes. the right questions and know how to ask the right questions, but yes. to actively listen to the answers and then apply them. And people can do that with their emails as well. You know,
yeah.
has somebody emails you a question or request, and
yeah.
then just respond in their own language as well. It's yeah. it rather than what you think the language.
Yeah. So especially now with us being, everybody is busy. Like there's no such thing as spare time. However, when we receive certain communications that is relevant to us, we're actually happy to read an email.
Mm. Mm.
So it's still possible as long as we learn their language. And we understand what their pain is so we can help them with that. And we build our entire marketing around that. So we consider what are their frequently asked questions? What is their struggles? And that's what we build our content around. And we share that with them in a give, ask formula. So we shouldn't forget the ask, because else it becomes normal to them that you just keep sharing. And you need to stop and also ask, right, I have an event coming up. I'd love for you to come along. This is my new program. I'd love for you to join. If we don't ask, we're not going to get.
Mm. No, absolutely. Now, we've come to the time where I ask for some takeaway points as well.
Lovely. Let me share what I had in mind. So the three takeaway points that I would love to share is something that I'm very passionate about. I call it start with you. So I believe that success is simply a set of good habits you repeat and improve. So I would love for all our listeners today as well to consider in what areas of your life might you need improvement. And the way that I've approached it for myself is I was looking at the areas in my life that I consider important. For example, my health. So I reached out to a nutritionist to learn more about what would be the right nutrition for me. So you can choose one little habit and start with that and slowly build on of the other good habits, knowing they're taking you into the right direction. So that's the first one that I really
and to starting share. Start Molly, starting with one habit is a great idea as well, because I mean, especially let's look at health. When somebody's, you know, says, right, I'm going to improve my health, I'm going to learn to run a marathon, and I'm going to eat lettuce, you know,
do it all,
all in one go, and that lasts for about 3 hours.
Yes.
And then you're back off track again.
You're back at McDonald's.
Absolutely. So it is that, you know, that it's setting good habits and improving. And we've, you know, there's a lot of people I've interviewed have talked about that habits and what finding the things that you need to change as a good habit. But it's just taking pressure off yourself too by just taking small steps to change the habits rather than, you know, just jumping in feet first and then failing. And
I love how you bring that up, because if I'm noticing, the majority of the women that I work with, we put way too much on our plates. It is absolutely ridiculous. And this is something that we need to consider. Are we being as kind to ourselves as we would be to the people we love most? Would we put as much on their plates as we put on our own plates? And would we be as hard on them as we are on ourselves?
Yes, so if and we the look at would be no, right?
Correct. It wouldn't be. And it's just, it's really important for us women to stop for a moment and consider, would you treat the person you love most or the people you love most the same way you treat yourself? Even with these habits, because we overwhelm ourselves. So when I work with clients, I bring them back to one. I'm going, we're working on one project and we're breaking it down to little steps. We chunk it all the way down. And I love doing these sessions with women, because by the end of it, they all go, thank you so much, because I am now feel more empowered to give myself permission to focus on one thing at a time, to wear only one hat at a time. Now you are a businesswoman. When you come home, you can be a mother. When you're with your partner, you can be a wife. We don't have to be all these, you know, personalities at the same time, wearing all those hats. It looks kind of silly.
That's a good point. I do have a photo that I include in some PowerPoints with a person wearing about 10 hats, and that looks really silly. So
consider that one. Yes.
Yeah, I like that. But yes, I listened to a guy speak this week, and it was about the hemispheres of the brain, and it was oh my gosh, it was so fascinating. This fellow teaches psychologists, and
I love
a model of the brain, and and it was talking about the work that they've done with stroke victims and how one side of the brain, when it's switched off totally, and how the other dominant side, whether it's left or right, as to what attributes and how the personality changes as well within that. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but it was just...
No, I love it. I love how you bring up the part of the brain, because I'm noticing whenever we're working with clients, and you would have the same, we need to recognize there are only three things that could hold a human being back. It is your limiting beliefs, your trapped emotions, which normally has something to do with trauma, so something that we brought up previously as well, or conflicted values. And the battle that we have with our own brain every single day is what we call east brain. So we are basically guided by our reptilian brain, and it works 300 times faster than any other part of the brain. So if we sense any fear, it takes over and there's nothing you can do about it. So all the logic is out the window. So the whole idea for us is to constantly ease the brain, even when we're trying things out of our comfort zone, because your brain goes, my only job is to protect you. So if you didn't die yesterday, that's fabulous. So we're going to repeat yesterday over and over again. So if we're trying anything new, you have a battle with your own brain saying, it's okay, we're not going to die. And that's why it's difficult for us to get out of our comfort zone and try new things.
And they're exactly right. And that's what he was talking about, that we just stay on the highway. So there's lots of little side detours off everywhere, but we tend not to take them. We just stay on the highway because that's, we've done that before. We know that's safe. We know that's a way that we can get to that. And so that repeats. But what we, what he also said, that if the more experiences you give yourself, is that you create more roads.
There's still you expand the mind.
But you don't have just one highway. There's still all these different roads that you can choose to take to a destination. So all these different possibilities.
You're right. I love how you brought that up, because there's a bit of a funny story. Last week we did the photo and a video shoot for my new personal branding for Marley Jolanda, and I have a beautiful team of girlfriends that are professionals in videography, video and in photos. So my photographer Celeste, she had the challenge to take a photo of me in a BMW on a roundabout, because the story behind it is often we get stuck on a roundabout and we keep going around in circles because we're afraid to take a new exit. But she had the challenge to try to work around all these cars driving on this roundabout, trying to take a picture of me. It worked, and I'll show you later when she sent me the edited version. But it's really interesting how it connects to this topic to say, don't be afraid to take a different direction, because guess what? If you don't like it, you can always turn back. Take another one.
Absolutely. It didn't work out that way. Just,
exactly.
So the next 2 points, I've just looked at the
time. Yes, you're right. So the next one, we'll keep it a bit shorter. I would love to share to say, dare to invest in yourself, because you really deserve it. So I realized I really stepped into my power when I realized that I am the best investment on this planet. And I know it sounds a bit strange, but we need to consider that you cannot share from an empty cup. So we need to fill our own cups first, making sure that we overflow, taking good care of yourself. It all starts with self-care and self-love. And then we can expand that, which comes back to your confidence, which comes back to your passion. Because when you're filled with that and you know you're doing the right thing for yourself, you can definitely also do the right thing for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you said you can't share from an empty cup. Is that the word that you use?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you and I are so similar in our beliefs in that, and we invest heavily in our training and learning.
Yeah. And I would add to that to say, don't be afraid to find the best people in any area of your life that you would like to improve. Like, I have about 10 different coaches, a personal trainer, nutritionist, a kinesiologist, an RTT specialist. So anything that I'd like to improve, a relationship coach. And this is not just because I want to save my relationship, not at all, because we have a great relationship. I just want to make it better. So my whole goal is live the best life possible. And I love working with these people. They inspire me as well. And you deserve that too. So be willing to invest in yourself, because you deserve it. And the ROI is going to be 10 times over. So that was the second one I really wanted to share. Are you there? I'm not sure if I'm still hearing you.
Are you still there?
Yes, I can hear you now.
I think I pressed a button somewhere along the way.
Did you hear that bit?
I heard you. It was just okay, me pressing the button off.
Thank
you,
God, so I hear you now. Yep. I'll quickly share the last one, which is the third takeaway, is know what you want, believe you truly deserve it, ask the right people, and allow yourself to receive it. So this comes from a book which is called Ask and It's Given from Esther Hicks, and I highly recommend it to people. It's life-changing.
Okay, now that's great. Know what you want, believe that you truly deserve it, and ask the right people and allow yourself to receive it.
That's all you need. And I know it's really simple. It's just those first steps. So if you want to know more about it, it helps when you actually read the book. So it comes down to anything that we want in our life is actually already available for us, but in one way or the other, we are personally blocking it. So it could be because you don't feel good enough, or it could be because you're struggling with your values. So whatever it is in life that you don't have yet, find what is blocking you, because you are blocking it.
Yeah, absolutely. And how can people find you and work with you, Jolanda?
Yeah, so
I was going to say Jolanda.
Almost. Yeah, so they can. Jolanda. Thank you. So it's Reason, as I mentioned, it's quite funny. So the reason I changed my name is because I married my business. So I haven't. I'm not married yet with my partner, and I looked at the branding, what would make more sense for people, and I love representing those two names because I was named after my grandparents. So my website is www.marlijolanda.com, and I always love to have a chat with people, as we are having a chat now too. It's the best way to connect. So on the website you can find an option to book a 15-minute what I call ask strategy call to have a chat about anything that I might be able to help you with or connect you with the people in my network.
No, that's great. And that's marlijolanda.com. Look, this has been a great conversation, and we've covered so many really interesting points, and I trust that the listeners are going to have been taking notes if they're not driving.
Please don't drive off the road.
But they're going to go back and listen and go, there's things there that I definitely need to pay attention to. And
I really enjoyed the chat as well. I admire what you do. And one of the things, as a tip, sometimes I try to multitask listening to this awesome podcast while I'm on the treadmill or doing my beach walk, and I try to grab my phone and take notes as well. So I know what you mean with that.
It is. Yeah, I'm walking along and I'm stopping, taking a note.
So I need to find an app or something so you can take little audio screenshots, snapshots of good information. If somebody has an idea where we can find that, if it doesn't exist yet, make it. You'll be a billionaire. It is an opportunity in the market.
Absolutely. Thank you, Marli. We've been talking about doing this for a little while, and I'm just so pleased that we met and caught up and been connected for the last few months, and really enjoyed the conversation and such high value content too for the listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our next catch up, and definitely keen to also share this with the people in my network as well. Thank you so much for having me.
You're most welcome. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosper, your host. Please, if there's anything that you really want to ask me, go to the website, janinevosper.com, and flick me an email or give me a call. Phone number's on there, and just ask me some questions about something that there's might be some help that you need with overcoming nerves or professional speaking, sales, whatever it is, there's a range of things. And please remember to leave a 5-star review. It also helps. It helps get the podcast out there to more and more people as well. Thank you for listening. Until next time, bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.